This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Everything good?
Yeah, just earpieces give me trouble again.
All right, very good. Tyler Soderstrom does not have a 19-game hitting streak right now, by the way.
I swear I heard
that. A lot of fake news.
I swear happening. I heard that last night.
Nope. I've got an 0-for-1 on August 10th. I've got an 0-for-1 on August 3rd.
Yeah.
0-for-2 on July 27th.
Somebody put that out there because...
Maybe it's in starts?
I saw it on... I don't know if it was a broadcast or I saw it in a tweet.
I would believe that it starts. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sorry, this is great radio. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. He has started, he has hits in his last 19 starts.
Okay.
But he does not have a 19-game hitting streak.
Okay.
At least from what I can tell. Because he had a plate appearance on August 10th and he did not get a hit.
Okay.
Well, he did walk, though.
Maybe he has a 19-game on base streak, but that's not what I heard either. So when Rustock said that, yeah, see, it was said during yesterday's game. Yeah.
Well, that's just...
yeah, that's a mistake.
Yeah, I think he has a 19-game on
base streak. Take a lap, whoever said the stat, take a lap.
Yep, Rustock, see, right. Fence him back. No, I think it's a 19-game on base streak.
Okay.
That I'll buy. I'll buy that. Because that's one. Because even in the games where he went 0-for-1, he didn't go 0-for-1. He went 0-for-0 with a walk.
Oh. Huh. Yeah. That's interesting. He's up to 273.
Either way, here's the bottom line. Tyler Soderstrom's raking right now.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah, he leads the A's in RBI. Which is interesting because he's had such an up and down season, but we brought it up while you were gone. There's like this weird little internal race between Soderstrom, Rooker, Nick Kurtz and Shea Langeliers for who's going to lead the team in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, it's 23, 25, 26, and 28. They're all hitting really well right now. I mean, Nick Kurtz is batting 315.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been so incredible. Since early July, he's leading baseball in every category. Like all of the main, you know, on base percentage, OPS, batting average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Good team. 10 games over 500 if you take out that insane stretch where they went 3-24 in the middle of May and June.
So bad.
They were 22-20 on May 13th. And then on June 4th, they were 23-40.
The worst part about that, like,
oh my God.
Like in the middle of it, you're like, man, they just let go of the rope.
Yeah.
Like so many games you had a lead and then all of a sudden a guy would come in and give up four runs like instantly. Like their inability to like live in the moment in those games and then to let it compound and all of a sudden start making like egregious base running errors, egregious errors in the outfield. Like we had the one game right in the middle of that streak where they ran into two outs at second base in like the eighth inning when they're down a run or two.
Jeez.
Like what are you doing?
They're six games over since falling to 23-40.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just, like you said, they lost their minds for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a month. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
About a month.
Excited to see what they look like next year.
Yeah, they're going to be very, very good.
Yeah.
I'm betting the over next year. Book that.
All right.
Just whatever the number is, I'm taking the over. They're going to win like 90+.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to be really, really good. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia with us on the ones and twos. Let's continue real quick before we dive into some NFL preseason stuff with the 49ers that we have not gotten to. Let's get to day 47 of
Kuminga Watch.
I do wonder if I know we just talked about the Suns a little bit. But just I kind of wonder if internally the Warriors are like, yeah, the Kings are our only option too. Like, I don't think that Mike Dunleavy is out there working the phones trying to find takers for Kuminga.
No. Like, if somebody calls, they'll, like, have conversations.
Yeah.
You know, I think they probably did call Chicago and say, hey, what do you think about a Getty for Kuminga swap?
But they can't because of the base year compensation.
Yeah. Yeah, it just makes it really difficult, man.
Yeah. So that's why Jake Fisher writes a whole lot of words for no movement.
Yeah.
Everything's exactly where it was.
The only thing that was new that I saw in that entire piece was the fact that that Trey Murphy was like a target and a target of a couple of teams.
Yeah, but I think every team should be calling about Trey Murphy.
Yeah.
Right?
The Sacramento Kings certainly should be.
Yeah, the Pelicans are in a weird place and Trey Murphy,
yeah,
good player, but I think if you're New Orleans, I don't know if New Orleans, I don't know if they're delusional, or if maybe I'm just wrong. But what's the Derek Queen? Is that the guy they drafted?
Oh yeah,
maybe they think he's going to be awesome, and they think Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, and Jordan Poole, and this Derek Queen guy and Zion are a core to build around. Maybe. It makes sense that right now they would want to hang on to Trey Murphy, though.
Yeah, I thought Derek Queen got hurt, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'm going to admit this as a radio host. I have not paid a lot of attention to the Pelicans offseason.
Well, I mean, they just got like lit up.
Yeah, all you need to know is they made one of the worst trades of the offseason, giving up an unprotected pick after
that. That I knew.
Yeah.
Since then, I haven't followed it. So it makes sense that right now they're wanting to hang on to Trey Murphy, though.
Yeah, he suffered a torn scapholinate.
You're making stuff up.
Scapholinate?
No.
Ligament in his left wrist requiring surgery and a 12-week recovery period that will likely cause him to miss the start of the 25-26 season.
Sure.
Oh, it happened in a summer league game.
Dang.
Yeah.
Now, well, they should trade Trey Murphy, then. Over the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. The Raiders and Cardinals wrap up their preseason on Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320. The 49ers, they wrap up their preseason at 5:30, also on Saturday. They're going to be at home against the Chargers. It sounds like I have a couple of things to dive into with this game, but I think Kyle Shanahan, if you had asked him before the preseason began, if you had asked him on July 24th or whenever veterans reported to camp, he'd said, hey, what's your plan for starters in the preseason? And you have to give me an answer. He probably would have said nothing in the first game, maybe a series in the second game, and then maybe a series or two in the third game.
Mm-hmm.
Or a series in the third game, maybe two if it's a 3-and-out. It sounds like no key starters are going to play. Like, at some point, you have to play a starter or two. So I think if Marquise Siegel could be a starter, rookie safety, he'll probably play. Like, D. Winters, starting linebacker, probably plays. Maybe somebody on the starting offensive line might play. But in Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, they're not going to go. And that is, I think there's a tightrope a little bit that you're walking as a coach, because Shanahan has mentioned you got to practice. Like, you have to play. But at the same time, the reward of a handful of preseason snaps, like, they would rather come out the gate a little bit slow,
mm-hmm,
and be using weeks 1, 2, maybe 3 as quote unquote preseason for their starters in games that matter, because the reward there is worth the risk, right? The inherent risk of an injury in football,
yeah,
is worth it in the regular season, where it's just not in the preseason. And I think that's the right approach.
Yeah, my biggest concern is, okay, first of all, if you're not going to play your starting offensive line, then don't run Brock Purdy out there. Don't run Christian McCaffrey out there.
Yep.
Like, just straight
1,000%.
Up. Just that's don't it. Do it. My concern is that you get to week one, you get to week two, and your offensive line hasn't played together at all, and they're just not a cohesive unit, and you're risking Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a risk that you have to run, though, because they do have a bunch of injuries, and they also have like a 36, 37-year-old left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame them for not putting these guys out there, but you're always worried about that offensive line cohesion. And if those guys are playing well together, it just can be the difference between you having like an extra 1 or 2 wins on the season. And if you're not able to get those guys together, like, those guys better be hanging out. They better be doing a lot of practice snaps together.
The problem is, even if he wanted to play as starters, Ben Barch is hurt and Dominic Pooney is hurt. Those are the two starting guards.
Yeah.
So if he wanted to play Trent Williams for cohesion purposes, it's not going to matter.
And that's why I am going out there with a 6-round pick and finding myself a guard.
Dude, whatever you got to do. No, I think, but again, those guys aren't out long term, but
yeah,
it's
well, Pooney is like a bona fide starter. Yeah, like, I mean, he was legit last year.
He can play.
Yeah. So outside of that, though, like, if you can find yourself depth at that position, it's just tough. Yeah. And they like a very specific type of guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want the zone blocking guys, the guys who can get out and really move. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not like not everybody has those guys available.
There's a requisite level of athleticism you have to have, for sure. Yeah, so for me, I kind of like what the Bengals did in the preseason and said, to hell with the slow starts. We're going to play our starters, and the risks are what they are. With San Francisco, man, I just, they are so beat up, where you're now protecting starters just because all your depth is gone. And they haven't lost any major key players, but you're in a space now where, you couldn't lose Christian McCaffrey or Trent Williams to begin with, but really now it's like, man, with how snake bitten they've been, with the depth issues they have, you at least need to have your top end talent. If you're going to be a top heavy roster like they are, then you need those guys on the field.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to have any chance of going back to the postseason, those guys need to be on the field, and so it makes sense to me that they're going to very, very, very likely hold them out of the preseason. We got to talk about Jim Harbaugh and Trey Lance, though. They're both back playing the 49ers. I have some thoughts on this. I think the Chargers are going to win by like a million.
Oh, okay.
Because I think Jim Harbaugh's a psychopath. We'll talk about it next. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Working out a trade in my dynasty league right now.
Oh,
I was locked into the break. I'm picking third. I was terrible last year, but that was on purpose. I tanked. I'm picking third. It was a big deal that I tanked too. I don't know anybody. I know one person in this league, and when I tanked, it was a huge issue.
Oh, they did not like you were tanking.
Well, okay. A couple of people were like, "That's BS." Da da da. And it's like, all I was told is I have to have players who are playing in my lineup. I was never told there's an anti-tanking rule in this league. All my guys played.
Yeah.
I just chose to play like, God, I can't even think of, like, Patrick Taylor over starting running back.
Oh, okay.
Like that kind of, you know, that kind of. And it did not go well. But anyways, I'm picking third, and this guy really wants a third pick. And he's like, I'll give you all my other picks for the number three pick. I won't trade number four because he's picking fourth. He's like, I won't trade you number four, but I have number 12. I have all these seconds. I have all these thirds, and I'll just give them all to you. So I'm in the process of trying to figure out what number picks he has. Because I love drafting. Drafting's my favorite part of fantasy.
Okay.
And so the idea of just being able to just offload half my team to draft a bunch is really enticing. But I'll keep you guys updated on that on next Fantasy Friday because it'll be resolved by then.
We all do right. Have this. According to Martin Ramirez in the chat, Soderstrom was pinch hit on 8-10 and he got a walk. And then on 8-3, he pinch hit and got a walk. So if you're a pinch hitter and you get a walk, they do not count those. Count this game as a pinch hit with a walk, which is strange. I've never heard of that before.
So because you don't have an at bat,
an official at bat, yeah,
then it doesn't count.
You have an official plate appearance,
but
not in bat.
And because he was a pinch hitter,
yeah,
if he had started and walked four times in four plate appearances,
then his streak over, yeah.
But if you enter mid game, if I enter in the second inning,
mm-hmm.
and I go 0 for 0 with four walks, that doesn't count. Okay.
No.
Interesting. All right, Tyler Soderstrom, 19-game hitting streak. Salute. Good player.
Boom.
All right. 49ers, Chargers preseason. All right, so a few things. What we're not going to do is when Trey Lance inevitably goes 20 of 24 for 230 yards and four touchdowns, and the Chargers win 40-0, which is, I think, what's going to happen, because Jim Harbaugh's a lunatic.
Yeah.
And Trey Lance obviously had, there's no, from what I understand and all the reporting around it and everything Trey Lance has ever said and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have ever said, there's no bad blood there.
Yeah.
But Jim Harbaugh's a psychopath. I cannot stress that enough. He's a football psychopath.
Of course.
And so he's going into this game. He wants to win everything all the time.
He's got his khakis pulled
he's
all the way up.
He's got his khakis just up to the nips, and he is
tucked in.
He is tucked in, ready to go to smacking pads and doing the whole thing. I think he wants to win this game and wants Trey Lance to play really well to shove it in the face of his opponent, specifically the 49ers, more specifically Jed York.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he wants to, even though it's preseason, the combination of wiping the floor with a team and doing it with the quarterback that they jettisoned for a fourth-round pick that they gave up on. Oh, Jim Harbaugh is going to relish that opportunity. I think the Chargers are going to win by a million.
I'm here for it. Do they play in the regular season this year?
No, if they play in the regular season, they wouldn't play in the preseason.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a rule.
I don't think it's a rule necessarily. I feel like the Rams did that a few years back. They played somebody that played in the preseason.
Huh.
But yeah, typically, it's just typically not a thing that happens. I'm looking at the point spread real quick. If you're into this kind of thing, the Chargers favored by only 2.5 with the over under 35.5. Give me the Chargers and the points.
Okay.
That's easy work.
Yeah.
Easy,
that,
get Chargers in the over.
That's probably a good bet.
That's easy work.
Seems like Trey Lance though found himself a little spot.
Yeah, he might have.
As the backup quarterback from everything I've seen over there.
Yeah, he might have. And
probably long gone are the days of Trey Lance ever being a starter in the NFL, but...
I agree. But there's been this immediate reaction, because, again, there's still this residual stuff with the 49ers fan base about Trey Lance, and it makes sense. He didn't... I don't want to say he didn't get a fair shot, but he was the backup in year one. It's like, okay, he needs some seasoning. Year two, he was given the starting job. Didn't have to win it. Say, hey, you're going to be the starter. And it might be a little rocky out the gate, but you know what? If he progresses at this rate by the end of the year, they'll be able to make up for any early season hiccups, and they can make the playoffs, and then Trey Lance will be the next Josh Allen, and everything will be right. But then he broke his ankle in week two.
Mm.
And Jimmy Garoppolo took over. Now, I think had the Brock Purdy thing not happened, I think Trey Lance would have come back and been the starter in 2023, and they would have tried it again. The problem is, when Brock Purdy came in, Brock immediately looked better than Trey Lance had ever looked.
Of course.
Right. And so it ran them into a scenario where, okay, now they have this rookie. And again, they didn't pick Brock Purdy to supplant Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
They picked Brock Purdy to be on their practice squad. And then he just outplayed Nate Sudfeld and then wound up making the team. And then outplayed Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance when he got his opportunity against Jesse's Dolphins. Number one defense.
All right, dude. Like, you having fun now?
No, I am. I'm coping early, all right? I don't think this is going to be a very good football team. What do you want?
With the 49ers?
Yeah. I'm just not that high on them right now. Yeah. Vibes are bad. Vibes are down.
For the 49ers?
Vibes are down.
Why?
Because everybody's hurt.
It's preseason, though. Your Juwan's there week one.
Maybe.
Like, now you got some depth for CMC.
Maybe. Vibes feel down. Anyways, no, but he comes in for Jimmy Garoppolo and was good. And that forced the 49ers to kind of change their timeline. And then the next year, they gave Trey Lance an opportunity to be the backup, and he got outplayed by Sam Darnold. That's what happened in training camp. Like, that's what happened. And I'm not going to say you're lying to yourself. That's the wrong thing to say. My view of when Trey Lance was playing was that he was not progressing at a particularly rapid rate. He looked in the 2023 preseason a lot like he looked in the 2021 preseason and the 2022 preseason, in my estimation, in my view. And then in camp, Sam Darnold was just better than him.
Yeah.
And so Trey Lance asked, hey, I don't want to be QB3 anymore. can I get traded? And the 49ers said, bet, we'll try and trade you. The Cowboys give him a fourth round pick. He goes to Dallas and doesn't, by the way, progress much in Dallas.
Doesn't get on the field hardly at all.
No. So I think what I think what Trey Lance needed was a clean slate, which is what he's getting with the Chargers. And he's now in a position that he was never going to be in with the 49ers. And that was in a position where, like, hey, you need to get better today.
Yes.
Because the 49ers are trying to compete for titles. Mm-hmm. And Trey Lance wasn't there yet. And I'm saying yet because if you, James, came from the future and you said, hi, I'm James Hamm from 2030, Jonathan Kuminga, great king, and Trey Lance is a starting quarterback in the NFL and he's really, really good, I'd be like, sure. Like, my jaw wouldn't be on the floor.
Yeah.
I think he's super talented and has the right mentality. But he's now in a position, Jim, where Jim Harbaugh's a hell of a coach. Jim Harbaugh's a really good coach for this type of thing. We've seen him do it with Alex Smith, right?
Yep.
I think he's the right coach for a player like Trey Lance. And he's just in a position where, hey, you know what? You're very much the backup. You're going to play a lot in the preseason. There's no pressure. We're going to make things very easy on you. We're going to build confidence. And you know what? You don't need to progress at this super rapid rate. You just get to be here and be the backup.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really big deal for him in his development. So I don't think that if Trey Lance comes out and lights it up against San Francisco, it's a very long-winded way of saying this. I'm sorry, I had a lot to say about it. But I don't think if Trey Lance comes out and lights it up against San Francisco, that it's some massive indictment on some major mistake the 49ers made.
No. Like, look, I've said this with other players too. Like, teams see everything behind the scenes.
Yes.
They know how hard a guy works. They know what he looks like in 7-on-7. They know what he looks like in just basic passing drills. Like, there was a reason why a door opened for Brock Purdy. And some of it's injury, but also some of it was that the 49ers watched this kid absolutely throw darts all over the field, and they wanted to get him on the field and give him an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He steps on the field, he looks like the right player for the right time for the right team.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, unfortunately, was never able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't able to do it in preseason. He wasn't able to do it in OTAs, where he just looked so much better than every other quarterback there.
Mm-hmm.
And he instilled that confidence. And again, I think part of it is, as a quarterback, I don't know that Trey was ever able to build the confidence in himself in San Francisco.
Mm.
And so when it came time, like, hey, you need another opportunity, it's like, yeah, of course you do, because it's not happening here.
Right.
And that's the end of it. Like, there are players that just don't make it all the time.
He did the thing that Jonathan Kuminga should have done.
Kuminga watch.
He did the thing Jonathan Kuminga should have done. He viewed the landscape and went, you know what? This is a team trying to compete for Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They're not going to give me the opportunity that I think I need.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to ask out. And he did, and the 49ers obliged. Jonathan Kuminga, same deal. Like, it's he's gotten a little more opportunity than Lance has, but it feels very similar. Hey, you know what? Really talented player, but doesn't quite fit what we're trying to do right now.
Yeah.
There's a very unique, specific thing we're trying to do right now that we need you to fill this spot, and if you're not going to do that, it's not going to work. And so I think that's just it. I think the mistake San Francisco made was trading up to number 3 in that year's draft to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a mistake.
Like, in retrospect, I understand the thought process behind it. In fact, I have always been a proponent of, like, hey, if you're going to go get a quarterback, take a swing.
Yeah.
And they did that. So I don't blame them for that. But ultimately, again, in hindsight, the move up was a mistake and the Trey Lance pick was a mistake. Now, granted, since taking Trey Lance, they've gone to 2 NFC title games and a Super Bowl in 3 out of the 4 years. But that ultimately was a mistake, especially when you look at their roster and you go, man, they could have used 3 first-round picks on non-quarterbacks over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's to me where, but I don't think that trading him when they did was a massive issue. I personally, I know a lot of people disagree with me here, but I personally don't think the way they handled him was particularly problematic.
No.
It's a, you know what? Whiffed on a pick, player super talented. And hopefully, fingers crossed, he's now in a spot with Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers where he can develop at a kind of rate that's going to allow him to be a starter in the NFL at some point.
Yeah, it's the dynamics of the league. Yeah. Like, you have to fight your way into the league. You got to show that you understand mm-hmm. what's happening. You like, at the quarterback position, you've got to be so far, like, advanced on being able to read defenses. And mm-hmm. it's not about how far you can throw, how fast you can run. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than that. And, again, I think that he may have found the perfect spot for him to develop.
I agree.
Because clearly that wasn't in Dallas. Mm-hmm. But maybe Dallas helped him along his path a little ways. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is he's 25 years old, and he just turned 25 not that long ago.
It feels like he's been in the league forever.
Yeah, like 3 months ago, he turned 25. Yeah. It feels like he hasn't been on the Niners for years.
Yeah,
but he's so young that, hey, there's nothing to say he won't like completely figure it out here at any mm-hmm. time. I mean, look at Sam Darnold, able to turn it around his entire career and all
point.
The prospects of his... You know, what's going on? Look at Josh Dobbs, who, like, finds his way into the league. There's a way for Trey to become that type of player.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I don't know that I would bet on it.
Of course not.
But I wouldn't bet against it. It's just he's too talented, and I think he's with a really good coach. Can we talk about Jim Harbaugh for a minute?
Yeah.
Because I talked about this a little with Kenny last week, but I want to get your perspective on it. And our friends at 95.7 The Game basically were like, would you rather have Jim Harbaugh or Kyle Shanahan? And it's really interesting how heavy the lean is toward Harbaugh on that.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of wondered, like, why Harbaugh's had a ton of success, two conference title games and a Super Bowl trip before going 8-8 and getting ousted. Kyle Shanahan, two conference title games, two Super Bowl trips. And a couple of mediocre seasons in there, like they've kind of been relatively along the same path.
Mm-hmm.
It hit me last night. I was talking to Chris Biederman about this on Candlestick Chronicles, and it really hit me. The reason Jim Harbaugh doesn't get the ire that Kyle Shanahan does is because he never got the chance to not get over the hump.
Mm.
Kyle Shanahan took a rebuilding team in 2017 and 2018 and turned them into a title contender in 2019. Once you turn a team into a title contender, your clock starts. And his clock is ticking. And, oh, didn't get over the hump in 2019. Okay, lost season in 2020, but couldn't win the NFC title game in 2021. Couldn't win it in 2022. Oh, lost the Super Bowl again in 2023.
Yep.
Despite the fact that that is a roaring success. From a making the playoffs, making deep playoff run standpoint,
mm-hmm.
the clock's ticking. He ran into the hump, and he has not been able to get over it. Jim Harbaugh, his clock started, but then they stopped it short unceremoniously after the 2014 season because Jed York didn't like working with the guy. And so people never got a chance to get annoyed with Jim Harbaugh. If they had gone 8-8, well, they did go 8-8 in 2014, and then in 2015... if they had gone 7-9, there would have been like, fire Harbaugh. He took over a good team. He can't build a team. He can't do that. Like, that would be the consensus. But we never got there. He went to 8-8. He got fired when I don't believe he should have.
Mm-hmm.
But he got fired. And now all we're left with is this what if of the Harbaugh era. He didn't get to lose another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He didn't get to have back-to-back bad seasons. He didn't. It was a bunch of success. One really weird year that was sparked because the GM sucked, and the GM sided with the owner sided with the GM, and it was over. And so people cling to the Harbaugh era because it's like, man, never got a chance to not like the guy, never got a chance to be annoyed with the fact that he couldn't win a big game.
I'll add this. It's to me, it reminds me a little bit of the way the Rick Adelman left Sacramento.
Mm.
Rick Adelman is the head coach from, you know, from the lockout 1998-99 season mm-hmm. all the way up until the 2005-2006 season. After he leaves, they go in the tank. They're not a good basketball franchise for realistically until 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? And we always look at that as like, oh man, Rick Adelman's the only winning coach in Sacramento history until you get Mike Brown. But the honest reality is that, like, it didn't matter who was coaching the team in the 2006, 7, 7, 8, 8, 9, 9, 10. The Maloofs were broke. And whoever was coaching that team was dealing with with a dilapidated, you know,
the broke owner.
With a broke owner and a group of players that weren't going to win. Like my first year covering the team, the Kings had the lowest payroll in the NBA. They had the lowest payroll the year before. They had the lowest payroll in year two. And the only way they got to the NBA floor was to trade for players who were already injured and weren't going to play. Like the year before, they traded Kevin Martin to Houston Rockets, and they were supposed to get Tracy McGrady back. McGrady's agent says, no, that's not happening. So McGrady gets rerouted to New York, and the ghost of Larry Hughes shows up in Sacramento and actually doesn't. Never showed up, never played a game, nothing. You traded your best player for cap relief. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is something that happened. And so, like, look, we never got to see what Adelman would have looked like if he was stuck under like a 3-year contract and just riding that thing, you know, that team out to the finish line. He would be thought of in a much different light than he is now in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Instead, he goes on to Houston and does great things. He coaches Minnesota. Like, he actually had some really, really strong years after leaving Sacramento. But no one could have fixed what was coming in Sacramento.
Right. Man, that's tough. I don't blame you if you pick Jim Harbaugh over Kyle Shanahan in that argument, by the way. My point is they're both awesome coaches.
I agree.
And saying that Harbaugh is definitively better because he got fired sooner. I'm sorry, I can't rock with it. Yeah. All right, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia on the ones and twos. We have the handoff coming up next. D'Lo and KC going to jump in here. We'll talk to them about the Trey Lance, Kyle Shanahan, Jim Harbaugh stuff that we've been diving into. And the Brian Robinson trade, of course. 49ers added a running back. We'll dive into all that in the handoff. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Tom Adson, James Hamm, and Kenny Caraway here for the handoff.
What up, baby? What up? What up? What up?
There they are. Hey. Wow. Live studio applause for Kenny Caraway.
You know, this show was recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, I wish I had a laugh track.
I don't think Kyle, like, understands that. I don't think he was watching shows when they would have that disclaimer.
Yeah, I do. Come on.
Yeah, me and young Kyle have no clue what that was like, huh?
What show did y'all watch when they would say that?
God.
I mean, you do remember them saying it, right?
Yeah, I've heard it before, but I don't.
Because I'm talking
remember
like,
specifically.
I'm talking like Good Times.
Yeah, there'd be like a voiceover that says, "Yeah, this show is recorded in front of a live studio audience."
I've heard that before.
Yeah,
that's definitely something that's in my. That's why I said this is. That's I literally said we're in front of a live studio audience.
Oh my bad. My bad. Where's my pen? Whoa! Hey, what the hell? I've worked hard to get down to negative two.
The threats, Kyle threatening Kenny here. I love it.
Say live studio audience again. Where'd the pen go?
I hit it. Oh no! Damn, I seen it too, and I wasn't gonna tell him.
Brian Robinson, San Francisco 49er. Thoughts?
I'm with it. I mean. I look at that as he's a little better than a depth piece. He's like a little better than that.
Sure.
But I don't look at him as a starter or nothing like that. I look at him as a rotational guy, able to relieve Christian McCaffrey and make sure he's not having 27 carries a game. Mm-hmm. And worst case scenario, if Christian goes down for a game or two, you've got a capable running back.
Yeah.
I like what you had talked about earlier and James had talked about earlier. And I don't even know if this is plausible, but I like you guys talking about it. Does this open up the door to see Christian McCaffrey more as a slot receiver sometimes? I think he's primarily going to be a running back, but you could get situations where you got him in the slot.
So maybe. I think the Deebo Samuel leaving changes a lot. And so that'll be interesting to watch. But they've never done that. Never. We have been waiting on the Christian McCaffrey, two running backs, not running back and fullback, two legit halfbacks mm-hmm. with McCaffrey split out or lined up in the backfield together. We've been waiting for this, and it has never happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Brian Robinson addition necessarily makes that more possible or more likely. I guess it just gives them another player they can put in that spot. Hi, Damian.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Applause.
Oh, okay, yeah. Applause for Damian.
This is going to be a heavy KC show. It might be a little on the tipsy side. A little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
It's not even noon yet.
It's not it. Well, it's not a bad thing though when you're drinking with your bosses. So.
Oh nice. How do I get that?
Well, I signed a contract. I am, in fact, not going to be Carmichael Dave's intern. I can be here a handful more years with my man Kenny Carroll.
I'm not going to lie. The way you answered at first, I was like, he's being sarcastic. It went bad.
No, it was great. I
was expecting you to be like, "Is gonna be," and you where you were like, "I'm mailing it in."
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought that's where we were going too.
I thought we were getting a score.
Definitely not. Definitely not. It was.
While I'm thrilled for you, I'm a little sad we're not getting that program today.
What program?
The one where you just go scorched earth because you're pissed.
No. Like, hey, shout out to management that listens. I'll say that.
I'm glad we signed Malik before he even went to free agency.
Damn, I hope I'm not Malik because this has been a rough year for him. Hey. This has been a terrible year for him.
On the trade already.
Hey, I've been telling people all week this dude wants to get rid of me, and that's the greatest indication right there. He's like, hey, all right, Malik.
Come
bitch ass out of here. Damn.
Free agent Malik. Remember how happy we were with
him? Oh, so happy. Hey. We didn't realize no one wanted him.
People want D-Lo.
No one wants Malik, so he's signing here.
We did so much. Like, there was other money out there. He took less money.
Well, that's accurate. That's accurate. Yeah. We had no idea. I'm sure he watched Detroit all season like, oh, man. Because Detroit was – so the thing –
punch
and
air.
And I don't want to speak for James, but I think all three of us, four of us have learned, there were offers out there, but none of them were what we thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And there was the Detroit offer, there was the Kings offer, and then there was kind of everything else where it was like, oh, that'd be cool to have Malik. Like, mm-hmm. how about this? Like no. Like, Sacramento's offering this, and Detroit's offering this, and money dried up, dog.
So let me ask you guys a question.
Term I heard.
Damn.
Let me ask you guys a question. So I didn't even know
Kenny's going to try to get rid of me in like 2 months.
That's tough. That's tough. He's going to try and trade you to 95.7.
KDDE. What is it?
Shout out KDE.
Trade him to them.
Yeah, they need. Yeah, it's wild over there. But that's a whole nother story.
It was at the white party.
Shout out
to what?
Well, the whole.
Well, I realize that can be strange, but it was the white party put on the black by the black chamber. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
My people, 97.5. You know what I mean? That's my.
There's good people over there.
Always.
Okay, good.
Shout out to my girl Angelise. You know what I mean? Shout out to Wanda as well. Big ups, big ups. Shout out to my man Fontes as well. But
Friday shout outs.
That's good. That's what we do. But you've never listened to 102.5. Wow. Thanks, Kyle. Mr. 106.5, the N, K-pop guy. We give shout-outs all day. No, it's fine. It's fine, Kent. It's
Don't
fine.
Don't you do Saturday shout-outs?
Yeah.
We do shout-outs every day.
Yeah, well, I don't listen every day.
See what I'm saying? Wow.
See what I'm saying? Wow. I'm always checked into the insiders. Wow. Always checked into the insiders.
I gotta listen to my guy, Chewy Gomez.
Does it hurt?
Now that you mentioned all that, has the league been saying something about Malik Monk and we just didn't want to listen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like emphatically.
Like we think it's just this year, like, oh, the aprons are crazy and nobody, like, nah, last
but
year.
But it's not uncommon for a specific player to mean more to, like, the team he's on than everyone else in the league. Like we've seen in 18 million a year never felt like a big deal. It feels like a monumental deal now for some reason, but it never felt like a big deal before.
I thought it was fair.
But they're like
Jordan
like
Clarkson's a league minimum guy now.
Think back to the Wizards that signed Otto Porter to a huge deal?
Oh yeah.
Otto Porter was valuable to that Wizards team.
Right.
And I know you like everyone can get their Otto Porter jokes off, but he was valuable
that's
to
NBA
that,
champion Otto Porter.
That basketball team, he had a ton of value and they needed to keep him. He didn't have that same value across the league. That might be what Malik Monk is. Like he had value, and I think he still has value to this basketball team.
I think he does too. I think it's I think $18 million for Malik Monk is fair. But the league seems to think otherwise. But I think that's fair.
I'm more with you too. And I'm going to add this, like this year, like you can't blame Jonathan Kuminga because there's no money, or Cam Thomas or Josh Giddey. There's no teams with any money. You go back to last offseason, it was the same thing. Like Detroit and Orlando had money. That was pretty much it. So if you didn't fit into their plans, and clearly they valued, like Detroit valued, Orlando valued Kentavious Caldwell-Pope more. They looked at him as like a potential fix for them at the shooting guard position, not a specialty player off the bench, or, you know, even if you're going to try to make Malik Monk a starting point guard there. They just valued one other player more than you. If they would have missed out on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I think that they would have been in on Malik a lot more than they were. And the same thing with Detroit. Like Detroit, they were the only team that really had any cap space. So like if they took a swing at you and you didn't, and you decided to go back home to Sacramento, then that made sense. So I don't think like that there is no market for Malik or anything else. I just think at this point, everybody is at the cap. Everybody is like either a luxury tax paying team or a first or second apron team. There's like three teams that are below that. And those teams aren't looking to add a guy on a 3-year deal left. You know, and that's what Malik is. So
I still think I hear what Kyle just said a second ago. And that's jarring when you talk about Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson was sixth man of the year two or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he was he waived and then signed for the vet minimum?
League minimum, yeah.
Like, we love Malik. I love Malik. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between Jordan Clarkson and Malik Monk. At least not literally.
Not today, no.
$16 million difference. Like, they're the same, in the same vicinity.
One huge difference. One of them is 33 and the other one's 27.
That's true.
That's the big difference. And it was 5 years ago. He was sixth man of the year.
Okay.
But I think we talked about this a little bit, I think when I was filling in while you were out, or when I was filling in for Jesse while you were out, I don't remember. But anyways, we had talked
about
this.
How much have you had to drink this morning?
no, we had talked about the the way the league is moving and the way it's trending, like right now, the hyper focus is if you're under 6'5", then you better be a demon defensively and provide, you have to be able to shoot it or you have to be able to orchestrate. If you're an undersized guard and it's like, yeah, you're undersized, you're not going to play a lot of defense, you can score it, you're going to be a streaky scorer. I just don't know that a lot of teams are looking for that specific type of player right now because they're looking for, how do we match up with Oklahoma City? Mm-hmm. How do we match up with Indiana? How do we match up with a healthy Boston who won because they were this awesome defensive team? Mm-hmm. And I think that guys like Malik in the second apron era are just going to kind of go by the wayside because people are looking to find those 3-and-D players.
What's Malik, though? 6'5"? 4?
No, 6'3".
6'3"?
He's listed 6'3".
He's probably about 6'2", max.
Well, what's Giddey? 6'7"?
Yeah.
Because Giddey, you wouldn't consider Giddey undersized, would you?
No.
No.
He's dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, but he can't
shoot. Yeah, and he's soft.
Yeah, like,
he's not kind a of physical a, presence a bit, out there on the defensive end.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I disagree with the NBA. Like, I agree with your assessment, mm-hmm. but the way they see these players, and I disagree with that. Like, mm-hmm. I think they're wrong. I think they're – I don't agree.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's the wrong way to go about looking at team building and evaluating these players. Like, I think these GMs are wrong.
I agree. At least in the evaluation of Malik Monk doesn't have value. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the Rockets would have killed to have Malik Monk last year. Right. You know?
I think there are a lot of teams.
It's just a shift in the league right now.
Would love to have Malik Monk, but I'll keep saying this: it's a luxury item for a good team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. When you're a good team, and you have like a really high caliber starting point guard and a really nice shooting guard, and then you have a guy who brings like a completely different thing off the bench, like Bobby Jackson,
mm-hmm.
like there's a tremendous amount of value. But you've got to be good at that point.
Yeah.
Like with this totally. Kings team, we keep talking about like how many players. Were they interested in to play point guard or that were rumored to be available that we all talked about? And all of them, you're like, okay, well, can you really put Trae Young and Zach LaVine next to each other in a starting backcourt?
Mm-hmm.
Not without giving up 175 points a game.
Sure.
Like, that's a
he
problem.
He does not exaggerate for effect.
No, when you're looking at the different, like, the way that, again, Malik plays, it's going to be the same thing. Like, he fits in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a starting point guard. But he's just really, really good and really valuable.
But he is different than Dennis.
Yeah.
And he's different than Zach.
Dennis.
So he should be able to.
I just love that his name is Dennis. Go on.
It is.
Sorry.
Like, he should
Dennis
be able
to. Talking to.
He should be able to do. He should have value to this team. I think what, you know what I think Hammer truly like changes the conversation is Keon.
Yeah.
You have Keon there who does. Like who is kind of in the same position, but is a significantly better defender, and some would make the argument he's a game changing defender.
Yeah.
Malik's not that, and obviously I don't think Dennis is that. I don't think Dennis is a bad defender by any stretch of the imagination, and Zach isn't a defender. Mm-hmm. So having Keon there is like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so Keon's very different than Dennis Schroeder and Zach LaVine, but also really really different than Malik Monk.
Yeah,
and to Kyle's point. The league seems to be valuing Keon Ellis more than Malik Monk
mm-hmm.
or those types of players more than Malik Monk right now. Once again, I disagree with that. I think if you – not that I don't think Keon and what he brings to the table is valuable or needed, but if you gave me the option right now of mm-hmm. – if I asked the Kings, if you gave me the option right now – you can keep Malik Monk or Keon. Who would you keep? I keep Malik Monk. I think he's a better player.
They would keep KIF.
You telegraphed it. I was trying to give you the heads up, too. I was trying to give you the assist.
I didn't have it up, man.
Hey, you literally.
I stumbled.
Bam. Hey. Hey. Oh, no officials.
Wow. KIFM West Sacramento, KRX QHC 2 Sacramento.
That one.
ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports.
You looked right at me, and I'm like, hey. Hey, get your point.
I thought you agreed with me.
No, I'm trying to tell you to get your point.
hey, you're like, get.
I threw
like,
the Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson full court pass, and you fumbled it out of bounds.
You literally stopped like right past the ID time. It's like, man.
I thought for sure he was setting up. He was setting up. I thought he was setting up the ID. I was like, dang, this is good.
I saw you look down. I'm like, come on, Kenny. Come on, Kenny.
Come on.
And then you pause like you're cooked.
It's over.
Boo.
I looked at 57. And I was like, oh, okay, I got 3 minutes. And then I just completely.
Come on, little fella. You got this.
Yeah. Hey. No!
Waiting for that opening.
Looked right at my man. Hey.
You have to.
Appreciate you, man. Nice for the official. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to the show, pal. No, real good, Jesse.
Nothing to say.
What'd he say?
He was talking about. I couldn't keep it up.
What did you just say?
Yeah, right. That's what your boy said.
Yeah.
That's a flag on Damian Barling.
What is your issue?
They always get the second guy.
I saw you, sir. I saw you. I didn't see him.
He saw the second punch.
I saw you punch him. I didn't see him.
Watch the tape, Earl Hebner. Come on, man.
We're going to get the last two-minute report from 11:58 to noon.
Awful.
Oh, man.
Goodness gracious.
But.
Hey.
Anyways, the moral of the story is Kenny wants to be traded in 3 months.
You have to understand on the handoff, everybody listening, if you're not in on the bit, that between 11:45 and 11:59:59, nobody's listening to anything anyone's saying. We're just
Except for me today, for whatever reason.
Kenny's trying to make a real point, and we're like, all right. All right, what were you saying before you were rudely interrupted?
I don't know. Oh, no.
You asked a question.
I said I would take Malik Monk over Keon Ellis on a team, and that's...
Okay, on this team, though?
Yeah.
Nah, that's a hard pass for me.
Malik just doesn't, vibes are bad. You can't do that. You presented that in a negative connotation. Malik is like, there's duplicates on this team. Like Keon, there's one.
True.
Like Malik is if you were to narrow down Malik to something, score.
Yes.
Okay, well, you've got Zach then.
I agree.
Right? Like, Keon is unique. And that's why, like you say, you'll take Malik Monk over Keon Ellis on a team. It's like, okay. But what about this team? Like, where Keon brings something completely different. At least I feel like Keon brings something completely different.
So, I think I'm taking Keon no matter what. Because I think if you're building a title team, James and I talk about this all the time, there's boxes you have to check, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the Kings' issues right now is they have too many overlapping pieces. But I believe, and maybe this is just wrong of me, but I feel like finding a player like Keon would be filling that box would be more difficult than filling the box that Malik Monk fills.
And I disagree. I'd see it the exact opposite. Mm. And there's no shade to Keon at all, but I just...
Yeah, you're out on Keon. You're pretty out on Keon. You're trying to trade him.
A little bit.
That's my boy, man.
God, you hate Keegan. Kenny just hates defense, I'm learning.
Kenny does not like defense.
Just like you found Keon Ellis undrafted, you can
find
another
one. What does Malik Monk do that is spectacular?
He's a top-flight scorer. Like, he can score one-on-one.
He can be.
One-on-one against elite defenders. Mm-hmm. Like, he is... I don't want to overstate
it. But how do you weigh that with that he can also be erratic?
Yeah, that's just it. I don't know what I'm getting at.
But that's what I mean. Do you take...
That's why he doesn't start. Mm. That's why you don't have him
actually,
as a starting
like,
point guard.
I think that that's the biggest problem that we have here is that we all know that Malik pushed really hard to start. And that actually probably played into Mike Brown eventually losing his job. Like, the way that everything broke up was, part of it was, he wanted to start, Mike didn't want to start him. We get to a certain point in the season, they have to, like, hit the nuclear option, which is to start Malik, and it does not work at all. Like, the team starts to not play very well at all with Malik and with De'Aaron in the backcourt together. And then you have no pop off the bench at all, so... I think that when you push all your chips in and say, hey, like, I'm the guy, and then you don't have the hand that you think you have, then there's a big problem. All of a sudden, your value goes from, like, hey, he was a really, really nice player at $10 million a year. He's not a really nice player at $18 or $20 million. And that's just kind of the way the league is looking at him, it looks like. Mm-hmm. But you also have to like go backwards now. And Doug Christie has to put like, hey, man, you're on the bench now. And he did it late last season, but that's it. Like, we brought in Dennis Schroeder to start. You're not starting.
But a year ago, did you think this contract would be a problem?
No.
Yeah.
But I also didn't think that this team would implode completely, fire their coach, trade their best player, take on an albatross contract, and then, like, fire their entire front office and then put themselves in a situation where, like, the future's bleak for 2 or 3 years. And then you're rebuilding after 2 or 3 years.
Like, it's this what I look at with a guy like Monk.
Mm-hmm.
You look at, I don't remember exactly what happened in game two, but we'll go with game one and game six. What he did against the Warriors, that's not normal. That's not, you can find that everywhere.
So I
that
agree.
It's prime time. Mm-hmm. You going up against, I think they were the world champs at that time, defending world champs, and I'm going to hit 30. They're going to throw everything they got at me and Fox, and I'm going to be one of the guys to get 30. That's not something you can find everywhere.
Sure.
Whereas, I'll use another example, another great game by this guy. And mind you, with Keon, I've said I think he has all defensive team capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to that playing game, and the way he played in that playing game against Steph Curry was fantastic. I think I can find somebody to defend like that.
Yeah, a lot of guys defend Steph, for sure.
I think I can find
happens all the time.
That was a very high level of sarcasm.
No. Like, I think I can find somebody that could defend on
the
that
last game. Guy who defended Steph Curry had an IV put in his arm.
I could go
and then got a massive contract. Shout out!
I can go down. I'm trying to think of Washington. Maybe not Washington, but maybe not New Orleans. Now I think about it, but I can go down almost every roster and say there's somebody. Oh no, definitely New Orleans. Herb Jones. I can go down every roster and find somebody that can defend at a high level. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can go down every roster that you can find a player that could do what Malik Monk did in those playoffs.
But what about what Malik Monk does on a night-to-night basis?
What about what he did in Game 7?
I'm not... I mean, there's a lot of people who could do that, right?
But there's a lot of people who could do everything the Kings did in Game 7. I actually think I'm one of them. I could do it.
But so. I think... I just think that's a little bit more difficult to find. You know what I mean? And it's close. Like, yeah, you don't find all NBA defensive players all the time. But like I said, I can go down every roster and be like, no, that guy can play. I would take this guy. This guy is exactly what the Kings are looking for. Who would I say yesterday? Highsmith.
Heywood
Highsmith. If Highsmith was on the Kings, oh, that's a good look. Like, 3-and-D guy can defend. That's very, very helpful. I don't know if there's a Malik Monk on Miami. Or I go to Abaji on the Raptors. 3-and-D guy, like.
Tyler Herro better than Malik Monk?
Ooh, I think
That's your boy.
Tyler Herro's
better. I think so,
too. Tyler Herro
can go. Yeah, I think so,
too. It's all-star. That's all-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tyler Herro can go. But
Tyler Herro's really good. Like
Tyler Herro's awesome.
Little,
no, I believe
he was a little
disrespected very
last
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
Was it the Dame stuff? Where was the Tyler Herro? Was
the
it
year
Dame
before? I think would.
Yeah, the Dame trade. Yeah. No, Tyler Herro's good.
But does he impact winning?
I don't know about that.
That's such
a
dumb
player.
If we talked about we literally. I say it all the time. We talked about this. We had a Meta Sports Radio conversation where because I always talk about like yeah, but that guy doesn't really impact winning. And so we got into like, what does that mean exactly? Because
they're words. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. But everything is context based. If you want to strip everything, every bit of context from the conversation, then you're going to go, well, anyone who's never won a ring just doesn't impact winning.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson, not impacting winning.
Charles Barkley. God damn it.
Charles Barkley didn't impact winning. I mean, he's just never like there's context required in all situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that's just the easy thing to do is go well Zach LaVine he just doesn't impact winning
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott doesn't impact winning.
Damn.
Like, it's just,
well, hey, come on, man. Like, wow.
But, okay, but this is fine.
He agrees.
People say that. No, but people say that. People say that about Lamar, right? You get to the playoffs, just can't get it done.
I don't think they say he doesn't impact winning. They say he can't win the big game.
Paul says both.
Well,
Yeah. So no, so we talked about that the other day. So that's my new running bit.
Paul walked by me this morning. I was scared to death he was going to go, "Yeah, Lamar sucks, bro." Just to let you, want to remind you, Lamar stinks.
I did a sports update one day that had something to do with Trey Lance and how I was like rooting for him or something. And Paul walks out, he opens the fridge and he closes it, and I'm not looking, I'm typing. And I hear the fridge close and I go, "So Trey Lance," I was like, "Oh no." Paul, no. He actually had good things to say. He said, he's like, "I agree, I'm rooting for him." I was like, "Oh, okay, my man."
Okay,
my
good. I think he sucks, but I am rooting for him.
Yeah. I think one of the problems that we have here is that the Kings have a bunch of players on their roster that you would really, really like to have if they made like $10 million or $8 million or $5 million less. Mm-hmm. And I think we talk about that with Zach LaVine. And again, if Zach LaVine made 30 or $33 million, I'd have no problems with Zach. I think you can build a roster around that. Mm-hmm. You know, if Malik Monk made $14 million versus $18, $19, $20 million, then I think you'd feel really comfortable. But it's the league right now. The league, the dynamic has shifted so fast to eliminate this type of contract. And like we talked about this the other day, the Kings had never made the trade for LaVine, but instead they actually took Zach Collins in. Like, what would have happened? Because Zach Collins, if you would have traded Fox, but to fill the salary, Zach Collins would have came to Sacramento. You would have two $18 million contracts right now, $17.5, $18 million contracts, and him and Kevin Huerter, and the deal for Kuminga would have already been done. Like, you would have taken one of those contracts, expiring contract, you would trade it to the Warriors with a first-round pick, and the deal would have been done. The problem is Malik has 3 years on his deal, and, like, these types of contracts are just going away.
I don't think that's true, though. The only reason I don't think that's true is because I think the Warriors are trying to get over on somebody. And I don't think they would have taken the expiring contract, even with the first-round pick. I think they would take Malik if Sacramento said unprotected first-round pick.
I don't think they will, because it's the 3 years. And their idea here is if you have an $18 to $20 million contract, you can package that and roll it into the next big deal that you're going to get.
A single season $18 million?
Yeah, because
contract?
A lot of people don't want to take on another 3 years of Malik. Yeah. Like, there's a possibility that, you know, again, if LeBron or Giannis becomes available, that one of those teams could take on Malik's contract, right? But the problem is that the Warriors have is if they take on Malik's contract, they have to trade either Buddy Hield or Moses Moody, or by the end of the season, they're going to have to trade them, right? So they're losing one of the $13 million contracts that they're going to have to use to go get one of these other players that they want to really get. Mm-hmm. And someone might say, no, I'm not taking Monk's $18 million over eight, well, what is it, 18 and a half, 19 and a half, and 20 and a half over the next 3 years. A lot of teams are looking at this long term, not just short term, and that's one of the reasons why you're looking. Golden State doesn't want to take on a 3 year, $60 million contract.
Did Monty McNair leave us with anything good?
Rumor is he left a puffy vest at the.
Oh, he did leave you with all your draft picks.
Yeah,
and an extra at one and a half at this point.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a good thing.
He left you
Keon,
with Keon and Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
And Domas under contract, whether that works out
Isaac
or not.
Jones.
Well.
Isaac Jones.
What?
I'm trying to think of other things Monty might have left behind.
Like, even
a headache.
He took Wes with him.
That's a headache. that's a plus. He took Wes with him.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't. Wes left early, but.
Well, thank God.
You know what I meant.
But there's also a way in
somehow
which.
Wes still leaking information. Yeah.
Malik Monk is like a really, really good player for this team. There's still a possibility of that.
His contract is what's messing everything up, though.
And I don't even think his contract
is
horrible.
Like it's that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
It's a copycat.
I just can't get over the thing that all of a sudden Malik is bad a year later.
I think it's
bad for the franchise.
And he got better. Like, statistically. Well, it's
true. That's the tricky thing when having the conversation. That's the thing about Malik is. We saw it. We knew it wasn't better, but the numbers are better. But we saw it. We lived it. We watched it. We were all here for it. It wasn't. And
here's, I think, a little bit the problem is it's a copycat league, right? Like, everybody's always trying to find the trend of the time. Who was the Malik Monk on Oklahoma City?
They don't have one.
Who was the Malik Monk on the Boston Celtics? Peyton Pritchard, I guess, maybe?
Yeah.
But better shooter? Mm-hmm. The Nuggets?
They don't have one.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
OKC did have their version, but it was a defensive version. And Alex Caruso.
Right, okay, but that's exactly what I'm saying. He is one of the best perimeter defenders in the sport.
Yeah. The Malik in Denver was Russ.
Yeah.
If Russ played a certain way, they won that game.
Yeah. I'm going through past champions.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were looking at champions. I thought you were just talking about teams.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I thought you were just talking about last year. I apologize. No, Russell Westbrook was not on that Denver Nuggets championship team. He was on that team last year.
But even Bruce Brown could play defense.
Right? Yeah, no, he's not Malik.
Right. And that's where, I guess, Golden State is the last one in 22 because they had Jordan Poole.
Mm. Sure.
But, it's just, I don't know that type of player right now, as every team is trying to become the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Thunder, Indiana, I think that guy's just kind of falling by the wayside for now. It'll come back around, but.
And I think the league is wrong. I'm more of a zag, I guess, you're not going to beat OKC in a rock fight. You gotta have firepower to beat them. That's how I would try to beat them. Mm-hmm. That's how Indiana almost beat them, right? Because we got four defenders out here, but they got five scorers.
Mm-hmm.
They got five guys that can get buckets. Mm-hmm. And that's what gave them problems. When Denver took them to seven and everything, but even Minnesota, when OKC said, we can eliminate Anthony Edwards with our defenders and you other guys try to score, ain't have a shot. Mm-hmm. And that's why I look at the league, and I think you're 100% right, as being wrong and we're going to build OKC to beat OKC. It's not how you beat them. Sure. You need to build Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you get.
Does Indiana have a Malik?
They got Nimhart. They got Nesmith. They got guys that can come in
they
and
play
score.
Defense, though.
Oh, they do. They have Mathurin.
Who's 6'6".
Yeah, but.
But yeah, you're right. He was feast or famine in the finals. So when he was hitting.
Yeah, I guess that's close. Okay, that's fair.
And he's just a pure scorer. He's not a playmaker.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think, the Kings have done a bunch of things. I don't think that the cupboard is bare by any stretch of the imagination. I think one of the reasons why you're trying to get rid of Malik right now is because you think he has value, and that may not be the case. But the problem is, if they want to really set their eyes on 2027, Malik has 1 year. That's his final year. And that means that your plan for 2027 goes out the window. So if you can move him now, where, sure, you might be worse the next 2 years, but it's that third year where you're like, there's no way Malik is walking away from a $20 million contract.
Right.
So you're looking at that and going, okay, how do we game plan 2 years out? How do we play chess here and not checkers? Mm-hmm. And part of that is to move off of a contract that extends into the window that you want to get better and do something different. And at that point, he'd be 30. You know, you're looking at a player who doesn't fit your timeline and all that stuff. So I see why. And I think that the Kings realistically believe that he would be easier to move than Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
They just honestly go, oh yeah, we can move him. It shouldn't be that
big
DeMar, of a deal.
Well, DeMar, I don't think they wanted to move DeMar, because DeMar's contract, it doesn't feel like it'd be difficult to move at all.
Well, it doesn't feel that way, but if you don't have a Kuminga or somebody else to bring in and fill up that position, I do think, if they were to trade
position, meaning salary position.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, on the front line, a forward. So if you go trade for Kuminga, I think the next move is to move DeMar. That move, you'd go get, I don't know what you can get for him, but I think that would probably be the next logical move, is to move DeMar to, number one, clear up some salary space, but also to rebalance what you're doing, to go get a defensive-minded guy to play up front with Keegan and Kuminga.
Do you think they want to move DeMar DeRozan? We want to move this player. Do you think they do?
I don't think so.
I don't think they do either.
I think they're okay either way at this point.
Okay.
They're going to be open to whatever happens.
Okay.
So, you know, that at this point, if someone does come to you and say, hey, we've got this going on, but when you get to the deadline, unless this team outplays what we think that they're going to do, yeah, DeMar is on the table. Because why pay, number one, you don't want to pay his salary the next year. and you owe him $10 million no matter what. I would rather get rid of that. And that's where DeMar's value today is probably higher than it will be at the deadline.
Okay.
Because what you're going to trade at that point is like a guy with like $12 million left on this year's contract. But if you want to, if you don't want to keep him for next year, you're out $10 million next year. Mm-hmm. Right now, someone could go, okay, I'm looking at DeMar DeRozan at 2 years or at least 82 games of DeMar, and I'm willing to pay the extra $10 million in the final year if he's really good for this 82 games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think he has more value today than he would, you know, 5 months from now.
Mm. Damn.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Can we talk about the Niners real quick?
For sure. Sure, sure.
Trey Lance coming
back?
Well,
I guess it's not. It's our show.
Yeah. What do you guys want to talk about?
You know what? Trey Lance. Trey Lance would be great.
Great. Cool. Okay. Excellent. I have actually thoughts on that.
You know what? I'm going to go get a jersey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I desperately need a jersey for our big September 4th.
I thought you had a number seven jersey.
Not one.
No, real quick. You should wear the one that you bought for Kenny.
Oh, come on, man.
What did you buy for Kenny?
I still have it.
No,
I still have
I'm not
it.
Wearing
He bought him
jersey.
A Trey Lance jersey a few years ago.
It's right there in my closet. It's not hanging up, but
so
it's there.
If you ever wonder why no one gets Christmas presents, it's because of that.
It's Trey Lance's fault.
My stupid ass bought him a Trey Lance jersey, and I just said, forget it. Christmas is canceled.
I was hyped.
At least you didn't trade 3 first-round picks to get Trey Lance.
Well, didn't do that.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I have been ironing 49ers jerseys, though. I will say that.
Okay, I like this way more than a Trey Lance conversation.
There's two
players.
We
can talk about that on the program.
There's two players.
What are the two players?
Prime and T.O.
Ooh, we're throwing rewinding.
I have, well, yeah, I'm not buying a current jersey. I'm not an idiot. I'm going to buy either a Deion Sanders 49ers jersey. A Deion Sanders Falcons jersey. Or
all sorts of takes on which player you should get. And you're like, I'm not some dumbass who thinks about getting a player that's currently playing.
No, I'm not going to do that because it's what was going to be a throwback jersey that I'm never going to wear in a year. How's that Malik Monk jersey working out that you got?
I'm holding it.
Niner jersey's crazy.
For dear life.
I can't wait to see Dame show up in a Nick Bosa jersey.
Oh, jeez.
I guess that's four jerseys.
MAGA hat.
I'm going to just.
Oh, great. No, thank you. Thank you.
There's four that are safe.
On the current roster.
What do you say? Maybe worst case scenario, 3 years?
No.
Here's the key. It's number of years, and then does it have wearability after the fact?
Fred absolutely does.
Fred Warner does for sure.
Yeah.
I think Christian McCaffrey still works. A Christian McCaffrey Niner jersey is going to be fine.
Not doing it.
I actually think the only current
player I'd do is Fred Warner.
I actually think the only one.
Jesus Christ.
Excuse me?
Nothing? Nothing on that?
Really?
You have
wow.
to.
Hey.
The only jersey I would acquire, the only jersey I would get, the only current player's jersey I would consider purchasing.
That was trash.
Yeah. That was
nope.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a hot take.
Uh-oh.
Hang on. I feel like a Kittle jersey.
No.
Have a lot of burn.
Nope.
Not for you.
It's either Deion. Well, we're talking about me.
No, you made it
this
clear.
This is
no,
about
I
me.
Said,
focus
I said,
on
I said,
me.
Okay.
You already got your contract today.
The ultimate needle.
Thank you. God damn right.
I thought you had just established this is a no-go conversation. It's Deion or T.O. Fine. We can discuss that.
But it's either Deion, T.O., 49ers, or Cowboys.
What the hell?
If you walk in here with a Terrell Owens Cowboys jersey,
what the hell?
I'm not. The handoff's over.
Really?
You said you already had three of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what the hell?
I did. That's a true story. I had three of them. I had three T.O. Cowboy jerseys.
Oh.
Only football jerseys I've ever owned.
I love Jerry Jones. What the hell?
That was for him. That was you, but that's
well,
for
but
him.
But it's him.
No, but
that's your voice.
That's
but you're,
his voice.
It's hey, your voice.
Hey, real talk,
but
though.
But for...
Jerry's shining.
Hey,
he's
hey,
shining in
hey,
that.
Hey, real quick.
He's
hey,
shining in that.
Give me... for. I'm just prepping for the show. Give me the clip...
Your show started.
...of Jerry talking about Micah Parsons and what Micah Parsons' agent told him
David
to do
Mulligan
with the contract. So... So I read this morning. I think it was from our buddy Nick Wagner. I can't remember, but I read it this morning. No, it couldn't have been because it was the Cowboys.
Yeah, but not him.
But I thought, oh, that's interesting. Then I saw it, and I was like, okay. All right. Jerry still think this is Netflix.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw the clip, I was like, this is a work.
Hey,
absolute work.
Would you be surprised if I told you that Jerry Jones actually thought that he was interviewing with Netflix in that moment?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Very absolutely good. I'm glad we're on the same page. You have to see the clip. We'll play it. You have to see it.
It's unbelievable.
Seeing it and reading it, not the same thing.
Which clip is it again?
It's the clip he says that Micah's agent told him to shove the contract up his ass.
Do we know what show he was on? Like, was he
Michael Irvin. He was with Michael Irvin.
I saw a little
Who's the star of this Netflix documentary?
Jerry, he is, but Jerry's
right there. Jerry's up there.
I watched a little bit more
yesterday.
The
Jerry and Jimmy stuff, because I watched like three episodes last night. It's just fantastic.
I watched a little bit more. I only got to the first two. But he goes, when they had Berline in there, and he goes, I sat down with Jimmy, and I said, Jimmy, Troy's a long-term option.
So second episode, so you got Haley.
You got the face.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Charles Haley's a wild
boy. Oh, my God.
That is not a good person.
I don't know if that's Charles Haley or if Charles Haley's not well. But
what I
goodness
might have been
gracious, it was Chuck. Well, that's what they told us. It was Chuck.
Hey, that was hilarious. And the doctor was like, yeah, they said a bunch of things that were lies about me. I mean, 95% of them were probably true.
but
I was mad about the 5%.
That was great.
Hey, Kyle.
Yeah.
I got a hot take.
Oh, right before the show ends.
Or begins.
We're talking about jerseys and all this other stuff.
Do you want to wait?
No, I want to, because I want to get your opinion on it.
Oh, okay.
I think Christian McCaffrey retires as a 49er.
Sure.
So I think you'd be safe with a Christian McCaffrey jersey.
Here's a question. Will it be after this season?
No. I think he's got three more seasons left.
You think so? And do the 49ers retain Brian Robinson?
No. No, I don't think so.
Maybe.
Don't get a Brian Robinson jersey. All right, D-Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamlin, Kyle Madsen. Shout out to Jesse Tapia for helping us out. Drink water, be nice to people. D-Lo and KC next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent.
I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.